also extend a Christian greeting to each and every one this morning. Enjoyed the morning service, and may God continue to bless and minister to our hearts and our needs through His Word and by the Holy Spirit. The Bible gives us an account of a man or a family with his dear family in a very distressing circumstance. Their lives were all in danger, great danger. And because of it, the Bible says he was greatly afraid and distressed. He was disturbed, worried, very concerned about his situation. And even in this situation, he thought he was in the will of God. You know? Well, if I'm in the will of God and doing what God wants me to do, why am I in this strait? So what should he do? What can he do in this situation? Where can he turn to? Psalms 107 says about people, you know, coming to a place of wit's end. Psalms 107. And I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but this man indeed was. Who do you think this man was? Thank you, James. Yes, Jacob. So the title of my message this morning is How God Broke Jacob. And through this we see God's working in the life of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham. And no, Jacob wasn't perfect. He was a young man, and he had probably his dreams and his passions that he was following. But God was also working in his life. So thankful that God does not give up on us. Maybe the way we would give up on somebody. God is patient. And he was working in Jacob's heart and life to bring something beautiful out of his life. And that is brokenness, which is dear to the heart of God. Psalms 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of the Lord are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit." Isaiah 66, verse 2. "To this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Isaiah 57, verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord, saith the High and the Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the spirit of the contrite ones." Why is that so important to God? And we were talked a little bit about pride and what pride does to man. And in his relationship to God. Psalms 32, verse 8 and 9, the Lord says here, David, "I will and I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. You know, it's not in man to direct his own steps, is it? Sometimes, like Jacob, he thought, you know, he had his plans, his ideas, and yet God's hand was upon him to direct him. The way that I will guide thee with mine eye. That means you have to be looking on to someone, just like a teacher. When he's teaching pupils, you know, his students, he wants them to look at him. That's the best way you can teach. And you can't teach them, they're looking out, their attention is out at the window, something out there. I will instruct thee with mine eye. Look full into his face. Then he says, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. God does not want that kind of a relationship with you and me, you know, like we have with the horses, where we got to jerk them one way and jerk them another way to get their attention, you know, with a bit and bridle. But he just wants to speak to our hearts, and we yield, we obey. That's the relationship. And for that relationship to be possible, there needs to be a change taking place in our hearts. And that's called brokenness. A broken and a contrite spirit, just like a horse. You know, a horse, the Bible says in Matthew 5, Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It doesn't, meekness is a picture of a strong horse. He's not a weak horse, but he's got muscle there, but he's just waiting for the command of his master. He yields to his voice. My brother-in-law just told me recently, he said his dad used to have a team of draft horses, farmed with horses, and it was these big Belgian horses. He said all he had to do, he remembers, all he would have to do is speak to them. Gee, haw, whoa, and I get out. They would just follow his commands, to the left, to the right. He said he could back a wagon into the barn without even using the reins of those horses, just by talking to them. That's quite different, you know, for a horse to the... you stand beside them, they're big, huge. But, you know, that's an example of meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Of poor in spirit, that's the way God wants you and me to relate to him. It's not weakness, but it's dependence. We hear his voice. We look in his face. And he guides and directs us in our lives. So let's look a little bit. The title of this morning is How God Broke Jacob. And for that, we'll turn to Genesis. Genesis 25. This is where it began. Jacob, I won't read everything. It's going to take a lot of time, and I think most of you know the story about Jacob, who his mom and dad was, Isaac and Rebekah. He was a twin, born a twin. His brother's name was Esau. And at this time, Isaac lived with his family, his wife Rebekah, the twin boy Jacob and Esau, in Beersheba, in the land of Canaan of Palestine, approximately 40 miles south of Jerusalem, is where they were living at this time. when this took place. Then in verse 27 and 28, gives us a little bit of insight into their home. It says, they were without children for some time, and then God blessed them with two boys. It says here, 27 and 28 of chapter 25, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So a little insight into the home. It seems like there was some favoritism there with mom and dad, and which ones they liked. 29 to verse 34, we see about Esau. It says, Jacob, he made some pottage, which would be a bowl of soup, a stew. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. He was hungry. He was probably thirsty, and he wanted something to eat it, and he wanted it now. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. There was his name called Edom. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. He stretched that one a little bit, I think. What profit shall be my birthright due to me? Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So this was the beginning of offense between the two brothers. They might have been, had some squabbles in their life, but this was like a big issue from here on. He sold his birthright. You know what the birthright included? The birthright included a double portion of the inheritance plus leadership over the family tribe. So let's say, for instance, if Isaac would have had 600 head of cattle, when he died, 400 went to the one that had the birthright. 200 went with the other one. That's how much worth a birthright was. So Jacob got a pretty good deal there, didn't he? 200 head of cattle. If he had 600, he may have had more than that. So that was pretty good for a bowl of soup. But no doubt, Rebekah communicated to Jacob about this, since he was her love, that he should have the birthright. She desired for him to have it. Therefore, Jacob waited and looked for an opportunity to buy it. And he got it. The right time was there. He got it. This was custom in the land to buy or sell your birthright. So it happened. So it was not uncommon for this to someone sell his birthright. If he had a great need, well, that was kind of, something valuable that he could sell. But, it was Esau's regret. Esau realized later his mistake. Hebrews 12 would say, for we know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau lived too much for the present. giving no thought to his choices and the consequences of those choices. That's still a problem today. No thought about the consequences of our choices. We just live for the present. We want to live for the future. The Bible says about Moses, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, which are but for a season. We look at that in retrospect and we think Moses made a right choice. But, you know, youth are faced, not just youth, but we are faced with that very same thing today. Either follow the Lord or the world. Yes, choices have consequences. And we see Esau's choice. Led to not having the birthright. Then we go to chapter 27. Here we see from 1 to 4 is Isaac's plan to bless Esau. It says, and it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here I am. And he said, behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow. Go out to the field and take me some venison. Make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. So that was the plan for that day, that Isaac go out, get some venison, bring it in, and make a good one of that good meals for his dad. You know, one of his favorites. Kind of like we have those favorites, you know. Mom makes, or a wife makes. That's what Jacob wanted, request was. And with that, when he comes, he's going to bless him. Well, verse 5 through 17. Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, her son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And she came up with a plan quickly. Jacob, I want you to go out, find yourself a lamb, bring it in, and you make that savory meat. You know how to make it. You bring it to Dad. Then Dad's going to bless you. This is very important. Her heart was that Jacob should be the one with the blessing. Here we see a bit of Rebekah's grit, her nerve, her craftiness, her shrewdness, deceitfulness, and resourcefulness in Rebekah. Jacob's name means, in the Hebrew, supplanter, means to deceive. And he used deceptive means to obtain his father's blessing. So that was just kind of a part of his life. And we see that in his mom. When Jacob goes to his uncle Laban, which would be Rebekah's brother, he was the same way. Laban was. I mean, he deceived Jacob into marrying his oldest daughter. And he used those same measures. So we see it in Rebekah here. You know, she's the one that influenced Jacob. So that was his nature, his old fleshly nature. And Jacob operated so much on these, in these days, in his fleshly nature. And it got him into trouble. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful and above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? So when he got the meat, what his father loved, verse 18 of chapter 27, it says, and he came unto his father, and he said, my father, and he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. See, Isaac was concerned. He wanted to give the blessing to Esau, as he had said. Jacob came near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near unto me. I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat it. And he brought it him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his remnant, and blessed him, and said, see the smell of my son as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, let nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed is everyone that curses thee, and blessed is he that blesses thee. There we see Jacob received what he wanted. He received what his mom wanted him to receive, and that was the blessing. So his deceptive plan worked. He stole the blessing. He deceived his nearly blind father, which was a lie, which was a sin. Plus, it was a great offense to his brother Esau. Then from verse 30 to 40, we see what happened in their relationship. The hatred, the disappointment and the hatred from his brother Esau when he found out about it. And because of this, verse 41 says, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Now with this offense comes hatred. And with the hatred plans to kill his brother Jacob. So the situation in Isaac and Rebekah's home is just getting worse. Because of sin and its ugly fruit. So, knowing this, it was told Rebekah about Esau's hatred for Jacob. And when dad's no longer here, then Esau will take revenge on his brother. He will slay him. Because of that, she came up with a plan that he needs to leave for her brother's place. And that was in verse 43 to 46, where she says, now therefore, my son, chapter 27, obey my voice, arise, flee thou to Laman, my brother, to Haran. and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. A few days? Know how much time he spent in Haran? This was the last time. Mama probably didn't know this, the last time she'd see her son. He was there 20 years. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heath. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heath, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? So her excuse to her husband was, it's time that Jacob gets married. Let him go to our relatives, to my brother's place, for a wife. At this time, how old was Jacob at this time? Any idea how old he was? Anyone? Yeah, he was up there, older than I thought he was. Anywhere from 60 to 70 years is what I thought. It could be that he was older. But, yeah. Haran, a city still in existence today, near the original site in southern Turkey, is the distance where his relatives were, where a layman was. And the distance? 450 miles from Beersheba to the north. This was a long journey for Jacob. Walking alone. He didn't have any camels to take. Well, we see from the scriptures he just walked. But God was with him. This was an all new experience for Jacob. For leaving the security and the comforts of his home, his homeland, leaving the love of his mother that she had showered on him all his life, walking through the land, through the wilderness, barrenness, concern about his own safety from the wild beasts, which roamed the land pretty freely at that time because, you know, it was the wild open, wilds, having enough to eat. And these were all heavy upon his mind, as we can see in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 28. So his first day's journey, he went probably approximately 50 miles from home, where he rested for the night was like 10 to 12 miles north of what is now Jerusalem, at a place called Luz, which he named Bethel because of the dream that he had that night. So he traveled pretty good that day, 50 some miles. Tired from the day's journey, he lay down and slept. Verse 11, he says, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow, lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. The top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I'm the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's in verse 14. Here God reaffirms the blessing of Abraham through Jacob. He says, in thy seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, and in the New Testament you read that we that are of the faith, we have that blessing of Abraham upon us. And God wants to bless others through your life and my life. It says the families of all the earth shall be blessed. And that comes through his people. That's what God wanted to do. God wants to touch the people of the world through you and me. But the promise was the Messiah. This was the Messiah would come through Jacob's descendants. But it was through the Messiah that the earth would be blessed. Peace and goodwill to men. Verse 13, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Wow. Jacob realized he was not alone. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid. And he said, how dreadful. That dreadful, the Hebrew word for that is, how awesome is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took up the stone that he had for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was first called Luz at the first, which was a Canaanite city. Jacob vowed a vow and said, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, will not and will give me bread to eat, remnant to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou gave me, I will give him the tenth unto thee. So this was Jacob's first real encounter with God that you read of. It really affected him. It changed him. He said, this is awesome place. It's the first time we see him in awe of God. I'm sure he was taught about God. Here he knows he is real. First time we see him that he is sincere in worship giving to the Lord God. And where the Lord spoke to him in verse 13, he says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. In the Hebrew, that would mean I am El Shaddai, which means I'm the most powerful in strength, the mighty God. What that means. So what an encouragement at a time like this, being out in nowhere and God shows up on the scene in such an awesome manner. What an awesome revelation. And his response, Jacob responded. He said it. In other words, if you will do me good, then I will serve thee, and you shall be my God. Anything wrong with that prayer? That may be the way many of us have started out in our Christian life, with that mindset. If you will do me good. That is okay, but God wanted wants to take Jacob further and in a deeper relationship than that. But I see much of that today, serving the Lord, going into the jail, serving the Lord for what I can get out of Him. He will do me good. I'm in a pinch, so I turn to Christ. After the pinch, I go my own way. You know, I believe that's the mindset of unbrokenness. Rather than serving God, serving and living for God, for who He is. He is the mighty God, the most powerful in strength. He's the eternal God, the everlasting Father. He's the I Am, the self-existent. He's the Lord, our shepherd, God, our healer, our deliverer, the God of our salvation, the God of peace, the Lord, our righteousness, the creator of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible. That's who God is. And we serve Him because He is God. He is the Lord. Words fail to explain really who the Lord God is. Psalms 34 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him." So, yes, it was a beginning, his encounter with God, which was good. God met with him, spoke to him. It was a revelation, no doubt, that he didn't forget ever in his life. He was touched by God. So in Genesis 29, we see that with God's provision and his direction, Jacob came to Haran. Here he meets his relatives. He marries Leah, Rachel, serves Laban for 14 years for them, then serves him another 6 more years for hire. During this time, he became very wealthy with much cattle, servants to tend them. So he was 20 years in Haran. So we go to chapter here in this time. He has children. And you go to chapter 31. "The Lord said unto Jacob," in verse 3, "Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." So that's exactly what Jacob did. He got his family together, told him his wife, his two wives and their children, that they're planning to go back to his homeland. We don't see that there was any communication about home, what was going on 450 miles to the south with mom and dad and Esau. They didn't have no phones, no mail service. There might have been bits and pieces of information here and there that came through, but we don't know just what that was. But God said, "I want you to return home." So he was getting his family together and all their possessions to leave. But he was afraid of Laban. So they snuck out during the night to head south to his home country, the land of Canaan, because he was afraid of Laban. It says in verse 17 of chapter 31, "Then Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle, all his goods, which he had gotten, and the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in the land, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. Secretly. So they travel a while, and I think Laman caught up with him, and they had that time together. Wasn't necessarily a very pleasant time, but it ended in a good way with his father-in-law. So we come to chapter 32. It says in verse 3, as they were traveling, Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall he speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laman and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks, men servants, women servants, and I've sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. There was something about it, probably, that Jacob dreaded the thought of going home. That was about he knew about Esau, his brother. He's sending these men ahead of him to speak to his brother and see how he tells his servants to speak to Esau in a very humble manner. Speaks to Esau about my Lord, says that I may find grace in thy sight. So that's still very heavy on Jacob's mind. What will that do, that encounter with his brother? For he knew the last time the reason he left home was because of the hatred. But the messengers returned with a message that he was not hoping for. As they returned to Jacob in verse 6, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. 400 men? You know where your imaginations can go with that one. What it did to Jacob. There was no word of peace or nothing. He's coming to meet you with 400 men. What are men doing out together with Esau? They must be on the war path. That's what they're doing. He knows where I'm at. He's coming to meet me. And this message, verse 7, it says, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. So he started coming up with a plan what he needs to do to save his life, hopefully spare his life and the life of his wives and his children. And says in verse 8, if Esau come to the first company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. So that's where you see that what he was thinking, what Esau's intentions were. Jacob said, verse 9, O God of my father, Abraham. Now he turns to the Lord for help. God of my father Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. See, here he's speaking to God, and he's telling him, I'm doing what you told me to do. And you said that you will deal well with me. Verse 10, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou showed unto thy servant. Here you see a little bit of a different attitude beginning to work in Jacob's heart. For with my staff I have passed over this Jordan, and now I have become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come, smite me and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good, make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. He lodged there that night and took up that which came into his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. So Jacob went to prayer, his only hope. His help was in God. You know, the God that met with him in Bethel, El Shaddai, the most powerful in strength, the mighty God. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 17. James says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So here we see in verse 13, he said a present, he provided a present for his brother Esau. A present, a gift was from these animals. And you count them all up, it was like 580 some animals. He sacrificed of his own wealth for the cause of peace and safety. So answers to his prayer may have caused sacrifices on our own part. He did what he could and committed all to the Lord. So he surrendered all. He gave it all up. He surrendered everything to God. This is where we see that God wanted him. And this is where God wants you and me. And with this in mind, his brother coming to meet him, he gave some direction to his family. He divided them up. Verse 16, he delivered them, everyone, into the hand of his servants, drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over beyond me, put a space between drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, he is behind us. There we see again how Jacob humbled himself. With a gift, acknowledging his brother, my lord Esau, and says in verse 21, I don't have time to read everything, says, so went the present before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, passed over the fort, Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook. And sent over that he had. Then the knight was there. And it says, verse 24. Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Everybody else was maybe asleep, but Jacob was not asleep. There he was alone with God. There he wrestled with God. There Jacob reckoned with God. There Jacob prevailed with God. And there God broke Jacob. In the morning we see the angel said, Verse 25, it says, "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob,' which was supplanter, deceiver. And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Whereof is it that thou askest after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared.'" Peniel means face of God. "And he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh." But Jacob prevailed. He received the blessing. Jacob was changed. It was evident that God touched him. People could see it in his life, his physical life. He had a limp in his life. But that still tells the touch of God left an effect on his life. People should know that when you were touched by God, when you saw God face to face, you had an encounter with God, that it will change your life, our lives. And that's what God came to do, is to change us. So in verse chapter 33, we see that that everything turned out right. There was reconciliation with his brother Esau. Says in verse 4, Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept together. Here we see that what God did. Think about it, what Jacob had imagined could happen, then really what God did and what happened. They fell on each other's neck and kissed one another, and there they wept. There you can see a picture of reconciliation and forgiveness between these brothers. It's what God did. But God used this to break Jacob. So what can we learn from this? You know, the verses that I read earlier in the opening about brokenness. Be not as the horse or the mule, which need a bit and a bridle, you know, to steer them around. God wants to speak us. He wants to look us in the face, like Jacob said. Now I've seen him face to face. And I had a completely new perspective on who God was. As he surrendered all to God, Jacob prevailed in faith till he received the blessing and the family. Thus, Jacob was also saved from his enemy, his brother, and was reconciled and forgiven. Turn the time over to Brother James.